This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Oh, the intrigue of it all. There's so much going on that we got to keep you up to date on. And, of course, we're taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. I mean, this is the fastest offseason I have ever seen. I mean, you know, normally you start to have a nice pace to it. I mean, this is like at rapid speed. And what I mean by the rapid speed of things, now we're starting to get things moving even closer to the draft. The Jets just traded up from number 6 to number 3, giving up three twos, two twos this year, a two next year, and so now they're sitting with the third pick in the draft. We've already had 93 unrestricted free agents moving. We've already had over 50 re-signs. Now, half of those were unrestricted free agents. Half of those happened like a couple days before the start of free agency. The Seahawks have been active to a certain degree, but inactive in being able to keep a lot of their players. It's going to be more turnover than anybody ever expected. But we'll get into that. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's start with some headlines. And we did mention, I mean, the Jets did trade up from 6 until 3, and that's going to be the intriguing part of this now. Certainly, they did this to move up for a quarterback. They re-signed Josh McCown. You know, they basically now have taken the position that they are going to try to get the probably the second-best quarterback in the draft, or maybe the third-best quarterback, but they didn't want to sit at 6 and get the fourth-best quarterback. And so now what they did is they jumped and made Buffalo now probably make a trade with the New York Giants at 2. You know, they're at 12 right now, and they're going to have to pay even more of a premium, probably giving up a number one pick next year to be able to get the second-best quarterback. Most people think that Todd Bowles may like Baker Mayfield. Certainly, you'd see now this puts the Cleveland Browns in a position where they have to take a quarterback at number one. That's probably going to be Sam Darnold. We'll keep talking about that because, again, this is just fascinating. Seahawks last night making a couple of moves. Maurice Alexander, a former strong safety with the Los Angeles Rams, he was able to get a deal. Jaron Reed, wide receiver from the Arizona Cardinals who caught over 30 passes, he signed. But Sheldon Richardson took a one-year, $8 million deal with the Minnesota Vikings. Seattle's, according to sources, offering 6.5, and so he came in at a discount and basically said that he thought that the Vikings gave him a better chance to go to the Super Bowl. Interesting. Then, of course, you've got Ndamukong Suh visiting the New Orleans Saints. You know, Saints trying to see if they can squeeze some room up to be able to fit him in there. Matt Tobin, who the Seahawks had traded for, he's now a New England Patriot. He agreed to a one-year deal. I mean, there's been so much movement. Michael Crabtree signed a three-year, $21 million deal with the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, it has been absolutely fast and furious. Justin Pugh ended up going to the Arizona Cardinals. He's, of course, from the New York Giants, signed a five-year deal at $45 million, $9 million a year. We'll keep you up to date on all the signings. But I'll tell you what, I mean, it's going to actually slow down now because it's going to be minimal type of deals, one-year type of deals. I've counted up that 77 of the top 100 players are already off the market, and those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How are you doing this fine Saturday morning, sir?
Doing fine. I mean, man, this free agency stuff has been wild.
Yes, it has. Yes, indeed it has. I mean, last night, Tyrann Mathieu signed with the Houston Texans. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. To give you some background on that, you know, he was making $12.5 million as a safety, and so they wanted him to take a pay cut down to 8. He said no, and then just had to take 7 on a one-year deal with the Houston Texans. And so that's one of the problems. You know, out of that, you can, you know, you can see the ones that study the market and don't. And that's where you can see these one-year deals. Like, you know, Sheldon Richardson was asking for $15 million. He took a one-year deal at 8, and that he came in as the third highest-paid defensive tackle. So if you wait, it's going to hurt you. Latavius Murray ended up taking a pay cut to stay with the Minnesota Vikings, and probably smart, because ultimately he would have probably gotten about a $1 to $2 million deal. He wouldn't have got anywhere close to the number they were offering to take the pay cut with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, you go piggyback off of that with Sheldon Richardson. He also has like $3 million worth of incentives, I guess, if he had to reach some benchmarks throughout the season. It could possibly go up to 11, where the Hawks are offering him straight up $11 million, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't know about that.
No, okay.
I mean, some people say he's offering a base salary of somewhere in the neighborhood of 6.5.
Oh, okay.
That one,
right,
that one
okay.
we don't know. For that one is very speculative. I mean, they wanted him back. I guess they graded correctly that the defensive tackle market was not going to come in as strong as anybody thought. I mean, the top deal ended up being 5 years, $50 million. With the move of star Lutolele, he ends up going over to the Buffalo Bills. And then Don Terry Poe, he gets a 3-year, $27 million deal. So, that's the defensive tackle market turned out to be a little bit light.
Yeah, definitely it did. You know, and also you're coming into the draft, and the draft is kind of light as far as defensive tackles, as far as production. You never know how much production you get out of the guys that's coming out. So I think that's why the defensive tackles are in such high demand. Speaking of one, Ndamukong Suh, you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Do you think the Saints have a chance of getting him in?
I do. Now, I'm wondering where his number comes in. Now, I think he may be able to top 10 mil, but I can't guarantee that. And if that's the case, and, you know, what's interesting now is what you're seeing is some of these players, like Sheldon Richardson, thinking that maybe there's a better chance to go to the Super Bowl in Minnesota than Seattle. And you wonder if that's the case with Jordy Nelson, because he ended up signing 2-year, $15 million with the Oakland Raiders. And so it's kind of interesting is that, you know, the little pause right now to try to reset the franchise is kind of, you know, taking them off the map as far as what they can get in free agency. I mean, you know, John Snyder and Pete Carroll can really recruit, and you know they're going to still come up somehow, some way with a very good team. But, they're not getting the benefits that they've had in the past where, you know, players, I mean, players want to come here because it's a great scheme and it's a great organization with a great coach. But right now it's like you can see there's a little bit of a pause in where this franchise is.
And there's still a lot of good players left out on free agency right now. You take the safety population, you got Eric Reed, you got Kenny Vaccaro, you got a lot of good players that are still sitting on that free agency, out there on free agency right now. So, I kind of look at it this way. The first week is going to be that wave. The second week is when the market starts to set itself and go down a little bit. I think that's where you can find your second tier player, not really a second tier player. You can find a good player at a cheaper price.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no question. In fact, that market has started today.
Yeah. Okay, now you see that.
I mean, that's right there as we speak today, because, I mean, you can see it last night. You know, all these deals now starting to turn into lower deals or one-year deals, or even if it looks like it's a multi-year deal, a lot of them are kind of geared up that you can get out of it in 1 year.
Yeah, because, I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
Yeah, so no, the market correction has already started. I mean, that has, you can see it. I mean, it's just amazing.
Because last year we had over, 100 players or better that signed one-year deals, you know? They're all right back out on the market again, you know?
So yeah, and you kind of wonder, maybe the tack that this team is taking is that, they did the one-and-dones last year. You know, they signed eight, and, you know, they were able to get Bradley McDougal out of that group, and we'll see if they re-sign anybody else. But, you know, you want to try to build some stability, and right now, you know, they've kind of taken the team, because I was looking at it, they're down to, like, about 26 players that were here before, 27 players that were here before 2016, and so that's a dramatic change. I mean, they only have now, if you want to count out Cam Chancellor and Cliff Avril, about six players left from the great 2013 team.
And that's the thing that happens. You know, normally when you look at a team that goes to the Super Bowl, and you look at them about 4 to 5 years later, primarily it's the quarterback and maybe a handful of guys. They're going to be left on that team, because once you start to pay these guys, and you're going to have to 5 or 6 years later reevaluate their ability to play at a high level or what have you, and also the cap number, you're going to have to make those decisions, you know, and that's just the cost of doing business in the NFL, you know. You're going to have to.
No, you're 100% right on that.
Was that?
You are 100% right on that. That's exactly, because again, you look at all these teams that have been to the Super Bowl, and you're right, 4 or 5 years down the line, there's very few players left.
Oh yeah. You're gonna have to make that. You have to make those hard decisions. You got fan favorites and all that, and they're involved in a lot of emotion involved. But as a businessman, you have to look at it from the spectrum. I need to get this team rebuilt, and I need to get it done right now if I'm going to go to the young route with rookies and, you know, young guys, or I'm going to have to go with some lower-tier veterans combined with some young guys. That's just the nature of the NFL. That's just how it's set up to be, you know. It's not – this is free agency. That's just how it goes, you know. And to compete in that market is going to be like that right now in the NFL.
Right.
So – but, you know, Mr. Clayton, before we forget, we've got to give a heavy-hearted condolences to Mr. Benson that passed away this week.
Oh, yes.
You know? Yeah, you know, he's the guy that kept the Saints there. I know he wanted to leave at one time, but he kept the Saints, and he also brought the Pelicans to New Orleans, you know? So my condolences to the guy. You know,
he was great. He was great for the game. I mean, he was such an institution, and how he was able to expand all his operations. I mean, getting into the NBA and, you know, getting involved with the Pro Football Hall of Fame and building that stadium. I mean, he did so many good things, and he's going to be missed. And yeah, when he went in a couple weeks ago with that cold, you kind of worried because of his age and all that stuff that something might be going wrong. And unfortunately, it turned out to be the case.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's just bad. I think his wife is going to take over all operations and stuff like that for the Saints and the Pelicans. Yeah. Right quick, Mr. Clayton, you're talking about the Jets moving up to third. Remember we talked last week about that? The quarterback. Let's go back to that quarterback with the Browns, the Jets, and the Giants are up there, and the Browns come back and forth again. Baker Mayfield is the man for the Jets. Is that that's what you're hearing right now?
That's some of the initial thought. I mean, again, that wouldn't be an organizational thing. I think that that's what some people speculating that knows Todd Bowles, that he would probably be a Baker Mayfield guy. But obviously, Todd's not making the pick. You know, I still think that Darnold now goes number one. But you know, I think the one thing that this does, it forces Cleveland to take a quarterback, because if they don't want. Because now, you know, you don't know if the Giants are going to take a quarterback or not, but I think you can see that the Giants may be able to swindle something out of Buffalo, because Buffalo's trying to move up on a quarterback, you know, and the price, as we saw from the Jets, was three number twos. And at the last minute, they almost threw in a number one last year
in
2019, but they didn't have to. But, you know, that was an option for them.
Wow, what a steep price to pay to get up there to get a quarterback, but you need the guy. I mean, you need that quarterback. You know, you got to hope that you can hit on that guy. Who do you like to be that number one quarterback, Mr. Clayton?
I think it's going to be Darnold, because I think what you're looking at is two different type of eyes. For example, John Dorsey, you know, last year he traded up and got Patrick Mahomes, so he was looking for a quarterback that he could get for the future that has the biggest upside and the biggest arm. That's why I think that they'll look at Sam Darnold and Josh Allen, because now they're covered in the sense that they've got Tyrod Taylor to take it as long as it's going to take to develop these young quarterbacks. Where you look at the Jets, they're looking for more of a quicker approach, and so that would be Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen. So I think they'd be comfortable with either one of those two guys. Yeah, I think what it comes down to is organizationally, you know, what can you justify? Do you want to wait for the big upside, or do you want the quickest guys to come out there? Now, again, they're covered with the Jets because they've got Josh McCown on a one-year, $10 million contract, but you know, they don't have to move as quickly.
It's a real good pickup to bring in there for the help out with a young guy right now. You know, because I think one of the misnomers is if you get that guy out early and he starts to make mistakes and have problems, you could almost ruin that guy's career, you know.
Well, y'all, that was the case with Blake Bortles his rookie year.
Yes.
I mean, they ruined him the first year. They had him throw too many passes. I mean, it was not good.
Yeah, definitely. I think you can hurt a young man like that. I always like that approach that the – you know, the Houston Oilers took with Steve McNair. I like the approach that what he did with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, where he sat behind Brent Favre. You know, you allow that guy to see and understand the nuances of the game before you put him out there. Because it can, you know, the NFL is so intricate today and different on defense. It can be, you can just befuddle the young man right quick, you know, especially if you don't have a good running game with him also.
Right,
you've got to have a good running game with that guy to help him out. So I like that bringing back McCown. You know, have the ability to let him sit there and watch McCown or learn from McCown being there, being a veteran to help him.
Right.
Like
hey, JB, got around.
All right, Mr. Clayton, next week, sir.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Taylor in Tacoma. Hey, Taylor, how are you?
How's it going, Professor? How you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, I was calling because I wanted to ask you about the compensatory picks and what we get back from the leaving free agents. And how would we get them? Are they just like normal picks? And then who are we going to target in the first round at the number 18 pick?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, there's so many factors right now going into things. But first on the compensatory picks, if you lose more free agents than you sign, then you can get a compensatory pick up to four. So right now the team signed three. They've lost four, so they get one. Okay, but they're going to obviously lose more guys. I mean, you know, they signed Ed Dixon from the Tampa, from Carolina, so he's, you know, that means Luke Wilson's probably gone. So there'll be more net losses, and you know, Matt Tobin left, and Luke Joker will get something. We'll see if Byron Maxwell leaves. So I think the fact that they've signed three tells me they think they're at least going to lose seven of their remaining seven total free agents. Okay, so now here's how the picks work, and it's based on pay. And it's also based on how a guy plays. And so it can go up and down a little bit. Based on what we know right now, it's a borderline three or four for Jimmy Graham. You know, the $8 million contract for Sheldon Richardson and Paul Richardson, those are each fours. So at the moment, I think, you know, as long as they lose some more free agents, they can get a three, a possible three and two fours, and they start in the third round. You know, so in other words, from the 65th pick, right now I think there's probably five or six picks that will go in the third round, and of course at the end of every round. So that's how the compensatory things go. And you know, at the moment they only have the possible three for Jimmy Graham, but again, they can still get two fours for the two Richardsons.
Okay, and then who do you think they're going to be picking at the 18th pick? What position?
At least one thing has to happen. The way you're seeing this thing go, and the fact that they're going out and signing kind of role players more so than starters and all that stuff, is that they've got to get something in the second and third rounds. Okay, so now that means one of two things. I mean, you trade down from 18. And right now, 18, I think you're going to get a pretty good player because that's right at the cutoff where you might get the second defensive end. You can get maybe the second best running back. That could be Geis from LSU. I mean, you're right in the borderline then. That's why I think there's now maybe increasing chances that Earl Thomas is going to get traded. Now, obviously, they want a number one. They're not going to get a number one. It's going to be very difficult. You know that Houston's now off the map looking for a free safety because they got Tyrann Mathieu for 1 year at $7 million. So that option's gone. So it looks like, you know, Dallas has to still be in the mix, but Dallas is going to be more of a number two and something else. So if they can, you know, if they want to, you know, trade him for a two and a five or something like that, that could be a possibility. And, I'd say right now it would probably lean toward being a defensive end. There's not many good defensive ends in this draft. And, you know, it could cost them to get into the second round an Earl Thomas. Now, if they get a first round pick, then that's golden. They get a first-round pick and more, it'd be even better. But I still think in the end they're going to lean on defense. But again, at 18, there's going to be some good players.
Okay, and then I forgot to ask this for the pick. Where's Nick Chubb going to go? And then do you think that there's a chance the Seahawks could pick him?
Yeah, Chubb's going to go probably, I'd say, second or third round because there's a drop-off after Geis, and so I think there's only going to be two running backs, three at the most, taken in the first round. And because, you know, and this is one of the beauties of things because, I mean, you can see it with the quarterback market at the top. It's like, okay, you may want one guy, but you can settle for the second guy. And the running backs like Chubb and that are so good that if you get him in the second or third round, you know you're going to get a good starter for a lot of years. And so I think it's going to be more second or third round for Chubb. But clearly, there's 10 running backs that are at least rated to be in the first three rounds. And so you want to be in a position to get one of those 10.
And then did we sign DeMarco or did we let him go?
No, he's still, and of course, following it closely, it's like, you know, DeMarco looks like he could be the guy because, LeGarrette Blount signed a 1 year deal for $2 million to go to Detroit. Doug Martin signed with Oakland. So, you know, you can see where the market is, and that's why Latavius Murray was smart in taking the pay cut and staying in Minnesota, even though he's going to be the backup, because he probably would only get about $2 million here, but I think they can probably get Murray for $2 million. To sign.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Professor.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
Taylor, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mark in Renton. Hey, Mark.
Hey, John. I got a couple of quick questions. So did Indianapolis, they picked up two first-rounders this year and one, or second-rounders, and then two.
No, they pick up two second-rounders. They pick up the Jets' second-rounder and the pick that the Jets got for Sheldon Richardson. So what is that?
Did they have their own?
37 and 49. What's that?
Does Indianapolis have their own second round, or did they were they voided?
Oh yeah, Indianapolis now has the sixth pick and three seconds.
And 3 seconds, yeah, because of their own. Okay. And what do you think the Jets?
Yeah, and see, here's their rationale. They're not looking for a quarterback, and so they'd be content to take either Brandon Chubb, the defensive end that many people think is going to be sensational, or Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame. So they're content to take one of those two guys.
But you don't think they'll take Barkley, huh?
Oh, they take Barkley if he's there, but Barkley's not going to fall all the way to six. I mean, you know, Barkley's...
Oh, no, I was asking about the Giants, too, at number two. Do you think the Giants are going to stick there and take Barkley?
I think that thanks to the Jets, and they should send a nice little thank you note over, you know, now they know that the Bills want to move up for a quarterback, and so, you know, that they can pay a ransom right now to get more out of the Bills, and so it's like if you're willing to give up on Barkley, you can probably get a ransom to move back to 12.
Yeah. You think the Giants...
But if not, they'll take Barkley because they're not, you know, I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. But, you know, the Bills moved up to 12 with the idea of getting a quarterback. And the way it's going right now, you know, Cleveland will take a quarterback. I don't think the Giants will take a quarterback. You know that now the Jets will take a quarterback. So, and Denver will take a quarterback.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you very much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
The Seahawks roster. Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
I'm just looking at the wreckage right now. I mean, there's still some good players out there, but, man, it's just it's thin. You know, already the top 10 quarterbacks are off the market. You know, 7 of the top 8 wide receivers, the 6 of the top 7 running backs, all the top 7 tight ends are all, top 8 tight ends are all gone. It's amazing. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bill in Kirkland. Hey, Bill.
Yeah. Hey, Master. Just kind of curious, what do you think about the possibility of all of the franchises moving more toward 1-year and 2-year contracts as opposed to these long, drawn-out 40 and 50, 60, $100 million long terms? They get them bound up, kind of like in a situation like with Sherman, where they end up with an injury and they're still on the hook for 13, 14, 15 mil. You know, 1 and 2 year contracts seem like they would make a lot better sense, more sense, both on the business end and for the players, because the players can actually gain a little bit more money for one really good year, and then they can renegotiate the next year.
Yeah, see, I don't think that the league would like to do it. I mean, some teams would like to do it, but you also want to try to keep your core group together. Now, you remember, the cap goes up $10 million a year, and so if you've got a good player, then he's going to benefit by that. Because what ends up happening is that, you know, the position's going to go up $1 million plus a year as far as the value. And so all of a sudden you won't be able to keep all your players, or it's going to cost too much and it's going to be too much confusion. From the player standpoint, you want, because it's a physical sport and you can suffer an injury that can end your career at any time, you want the multi-year contracts. And so, no, I don't see, I think that, you know, you're probably thinking it's better on the 3-year, 4-year level, particularly because, again, the team has the ability to cut anybody anytime they want. But the player wants some stability, and also the team wants some roster stability. So to go to a 1 or 2 year system, that would be disastrous. I mean, you couldn't do it for a quarterback because, again, you want your quarterback, right, if he's good, to be locked up as long as he can, because it's going to cost you. Look what it's going to cost right now. If you're on 1 and 2 year deals with Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they'll go up. The market was 2 years ago $25 million. Now it's $28 million. Next year it's going to be $30 million. Don't want to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't see that so much with the quarterbacks, but I think in a lot of the other positions, especially defensive, different tackles, player protection, you know, positions. But, yeah, it just seems like it would be a better business structure. But I guess I can see your point, though. So All right,
yeah, because again, it's like from the team standpoint, you won't be able to control, because you know you've got to manage this because it's a hard salary cap, and you won't be able to figure things out for the future because now you have too many players coming up, and then from the player standpoint, you won't have the stability and security of any kind of a long term deal. So I think that would not work.
Okay, cool.
Hey, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for
866-979-ESPN 206-421-ESPN. The free agency period again, I mean, started on Wednesday, but really I guess you could say the open period started on Monday, and that's when everything was happening and happening so fast that, you know, it's been great to keep up on. That's one thing for sure. I mean, and you know, the only hard part for me is trying to keep up on the contracts, because I know here I am, I'm actually in Pittsburgh, had a speaking thing at my college, Duquesne, yesterday, and have a session at Point Park College coming up on Monday. And so I'm actually taking today and a good portion of tomorrow just to try to catch up on all the contracts. And so when I started this morning, there was 117 contracts that I have to keep up on. And so I'm trying to chip away. I'm down to like about 95 right now. And again, what I do is I put them in my database, then try to justify with a salary cap and all that stuff. It's fun to do, but man, it's a challenge because it's happened so fast. Now, the good part about it, if I can get through the weekend and get most of the good work in free agency is done, because now you're talking about, you know, mostly 1 year deals and 2 year deals and things like that. But give us a call to talk about these deals. And what is your thoughts about the Seahawks? I mean, I think the one concern coming out of this is the fact that so many players are leaving or in the process of leaving. And, you know, now is the thought there that for the moment, temporarily, this team is not a Super Bowl team. It's a playoff caliber team, but it's a team right now that has to get, you know, hit some free agency and draft and all that to stay that. You know, where do you think the state of this team is? Give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. And again, repeating the big news of today, and we'll repeat the big news of last night, New York Jets now have traded 3 second-round picks, 2 this year and 1 next year, to move up, and now they're sitting at the Indianapolis Colts pick at number 3, which puts the Bills at number 12 in an even a harder spot to try to move up, and they may not be able to do that if they want to get a quarterback. So anticipation that the Bills were moving up, the Jets paid 3 number 2s to be able to get into the 3rd pick and then have a chance at whatever quarterback that they may want to get. Thoughts on that trade? I'm sure Jet will check in on this, because now it looks like against his wishes, the team is going to try to get a young quarterback on the roster. And of course, on the Seahawks moves, you know, they've been busy last night. Maurice Alexander, former starting strong safety for the Rams, who kind of got benched right on the game that they were playing against the Seahawks in Los Angeles, and then a couple weeks later they ended up cutting him. So he's the strong safety candidate to be a backup, and you know, right now try to back up you got Bradley McDougal there, and you also have Delano Hill. That just tells me there's more of a chance than ever that they're going to trade Earl Thomas. Because now what you're looking at is that they have 3 strong safeties and 1 free safety. They have McDougal's ability to do that. So they have Delano, Hill, and Alexander. Again, we don't know what money they paid Alexander, but that increases the chances. Yesterday I had an Earl Thomas trade at 15%. I think I have to take it up to 20 to 25% right now. What's your thoughts on that? 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to David in South Prairie. Hey, David.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I think this is going to be a transition year for Seattle. I think, like last year, I think they went for it because they thought they had a Super Bowl caliber team. That's why they did the trades for Brown and for Richardson. And Richardson looked like basically was just a rent-a. They gave up a second round pick for a rent-a player
for half
a year. I just see them transitioning to a more younger kind of going back to 2012, 2013, let's bring in a lot of kids that are young and hungry. And I think they're trying to phase out a lot of these big contracts. You know, like you said with Earl Thomas, I think this would be the year to trade him because you get the best value for him. And you've got last year you drafted all these young, you know, safeties and cornerbacks. I mean, it's time to, I think they need to kind of transition to that. And I think that's why they didn't go crazy in free agency this year. Like you saw a lot of teams just, it just seemed like they were spending a lot of money, more money than what the players were worth. You know, Paul Richardson gets 40 million. It's like, these were crazy numbers. And I think people go back and they'll say, oh, my God, why did we spend all this money on these guys? And I think they're kind of doing that conservative thing, like, we might not be really good this year, a Super Bowl caliber, decent, but next year after that, we get some more picks. We got some compensatory picks. And let's, you know, I think they're going to try to build it like they did in 2012 and 2013.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, I think you can see, and that's why it was kind of, that's why I'm now thinking there's a growing possibility that Earl Thomas is going to be the next to go. And again, you got to get the right value. But, I mean, you're looking at, you know, the third round pick from last, you know, they have a two third round pick, or a third and fourth round pick, you know, Tedrick Thompson and that. And it's like, you don't want to move so many guys ahead of them that they're just going to sit and be wasted picks.
Right, that's what you're saying. I think it's going to be a transition. I think people need to be patient this year. It might not be a really great year, but I think it's a transition year to the year after that where they have quite a few picks. They'll have a little bit more cap space. And I think, like I said, I think it's almost like 2012, 2011 all over again.
The difference in that, at least they have the quarterback.
Yeah, they got the quarterback, but I think they're trying to get rid of. I remember when Holmgren was here, they had a lot of older veterans, and then Pete Carroll came in with Schneider and says, okay, we got to do a lot of different things here. We got to get rid of the old guard and bring in some young, hungry kids. And what do you think about what Richard Sherman said about Pete Carroll? Here's a team that drafted him. Gave him his big contract, believed in him, and, you know, I just think they just kind of threw Pete Carroll under the bus a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, Pete's still arguably one of the top two or three coaches in the league. And
I just thought
he's a player's coach. Yeah, well, I mean, what you're going to see now is that, you know, Richard he's going to say a lot of things, and it's going to spike up the rivalry. I mean, this is not going to be the last statement. It's going to be negative. I mean, I think the point he's trying to get across is, you know, he said the Seahawks have lost their way, and I think now you're seeing that he's giving a reaction. It's like, okay, this team is no longer the championship-level type of team. Well, maybe it isn't at the moment, but it still is fundamentally good as far as where they are as an organization and what they can try to do.
Yeah, do you think that the Rams are doing what Seattle did back in, like, 2012 to 2013? They get all this cap space because all their great players are under their rookie contracts, and they're going for it this year because, was it next year, they got to start paying Donald and Gurley and Goff?
Mm-hmm.
That,
right.
They're going to be in the same situation Seattle was back in 2014-15.
Right. No, I think that's you raise a good point there, because I think they're exactly, because you can see that they're trying to manage things so they can, because, you know, they've loaded up on so many number one picks, and now they're starting to hit on those picks, and they're going to have big contracts that are coming due. So, yeah, Kevin Demoff does their cap. He's their team president, and he does a very good job. He's Marvin Demoff's son. And so, no, you can see that they're taking the four-year opportunity they have with Jared Goff and trying to load the roster, realizing, though, that it's like, hey, you can load it, but you got to win when you can.
Yeah, that's what Seattle did. Okay, well, thanks, John.
Hey, thank you very much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Hitting the phones at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Brian in Bellingham. Hey, Brian.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. I got a question for you. Are we holding on to players too long? Are we trying to hold on to a window for too great a time? When you look at like a team like the Patriots that have a lot of success, it seems like they hold on to a couple key components. And the rest, they kind of refresh every month or every year, and as a result, they seem to have a lot of success. Is that an area of opportunity for us?
Well, I think what you see, that's past tense. I mean, they were holding on. They did that and then tried to get the contract extension with Cam Chancellor. And you know, but now I think what you're seeing is that they're now doing a different type of thing because you know, so many of the players that have been core group players are now either gone or going. So I think that, you know, are they doing it? Not now. They were. And, of course, that's a smart thing to do. I mean, they had a great seven-year window where things were sensational. Things were going great. Last year they thought that they could squeeze out one more, and they thought probably, you know, going in with the way that they reacted, that they probably was going to be able to do the same this year. But then with the way things ended with the 9-win season and no playoffs, I think they've taken the tack now. It's like, okay, you know, we've got to now, you know, refresh and rebuild and not hold on to as many guys. I mean, because what's curious is like, okay, so they, you know that Ed Dixon's going to be a better blocker than Luke Wilson, but now they pretty well have taken Dixon, and now they're going to try to get Nick Vanett. That's why I'm really starting to think there is a more of a possibility that they'll trade Earl Thomas, because if so, you know, you have the two young safeties that aren't going to be able to surface, and I think they may want to get those guys out there to see, are they the next stars of the future?
Sure, sure. It just seems like a really extreme turnover, and you know, if they were not holding on to folks so for so long, it may not have been as extreme as it is this year. And if that would have been healthier for the Seahawks in the long run,
are you saying it would have been better if they started it last year?
Yeah, I mean, possibly.
Yeah, see, that one I don't agree with, because again,
cap space.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, the idea is to get to the Super Bowl. And so, you know, they didn't have many top free agents that they were going to play the compensatory game like they can play this year. And so with that being the case, now you go out and, you know, you let more guys, go. And now it's a different tack. But last year, it's like they didn't have the compensatory thing. So let's go for it. Let's go for eight guys and see if they can get good players in. And, you know, they got McDougal out of the mix, but I don't know if they're going to get any other guys back. Hey, but thank you for the phone
Absolutely.
Call.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you very much.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Adele in Lake Stevens. Hey, Adele.
Hey, John. Good morning. I'm one of your biggest
Good morning.
Fans. That's first-time caller.
I appreciate that.
And whatever the professor says, I always believe, because you're pretty fairly accurate.
Thank you.
And one question I have, John, I was wondering, whatever happened to Ndamukong Suh? Are we still trying, is he trying to look around, or is the Seahawks even interested in him?
Oh, yeah, no, they're interested. Now the question is going to be at what number. He's in New Orleans spending some time, and so you would figure something's going to be moving very quickly in that regard soon. You know, he had dinner on Thursday night with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis. Seattle still has him in the mix and still has him in the crosshairs. And so, you know, we'll see if anything can get done. But it sounds to me that Sue's trying to choose between Seattle and New Orleans. And that could be a little scary, because if he thinks New Orleans is closer to the Super Bowl than Seattle, then they may not be able to get him. On the flip side, I think he wouldn't mind getting back into this area. Because he's an
That's
Oregon
true.
Guy.
I would love for him to be here, because I don't know. Is it true that they offered lowballed Sheldon Richardson? Does he say he went to the Vikings?
Hard to say. I think they were. I mean, I think that they saw that the value wasn't anywhere near where Sheldon wanted, because he wanted about $14-15 million, and you know, you can justify that with some of the defensive tackles. But I guess the fact that he didn't have the sacks took his value down to a point where he was able to get the eight. And there were some thoughts that Seattle was going to get him in the a little bit lower than that. So yeah, a little surprising.
If I had a choice between both of them, I would have Sue. But hopefully, we still have a chance to get Sue, and I'm hoping that we get Byron Maxwell back, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think they definitely need the cornerback.
I mean, we'll
There's
just
no
have
question.
To wait and see, and hopefully we'll get at least a stud defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
How about the guy
well,
from
Well, they
still
Minnesota? Have two good young tackles. Is it
Jimmy Johnson or somebody like that?
Who's that again?
The defensive tackle from Minnesota.
Oh, Tom Johnson. He's a 33-year-old role player. That's an older guy. I don't know if want that. Hey, Adele, thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, and have a good day, sir.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jeff in Bellevue. Hey, Jeff.
Morning, John. I was wondering, do you know if the Hawks were even in the play for Calumete and the Saints?
No, I don't think they were.
Any reason?
No, I don't
that?
Think they wanted to go in that $4 million range for an offensive lineman at this stage.
Yeah, they went for an $8 million lineman last year, which opened.
Yeah, I know. That's well, that's last year. This year is different.
I think you're right.
I mean, it's like that's
time to move on and restart the engines.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. I mean, it looks like it is now to the stage where, they particularly, too, it's like, here's a list of Seahawks they can still bring back, the Byron Maxwells and the Luke Wilsons and all that. And it looks like they're kind of going in some different directions. And so, John Brown, they signed, of course, from Arizona. Then now they got Ed Dixon at tight end to work with Nick Vinette. And now Terrell Pryor is coming in tomorrow for a visit, which is kind of intriguing.
Yeah, well, those guys are, maybe Pryor would have some sex appeal, but the other two are pretty marginal. But no big splash, even though now they've got some money.
Problem is that there's not many splashes left when you take, when you take 77 of your top 100 players on the market and take them off, which is now the case league-wide. I mean, I'll give you some names. It's like, okay, the top wide receivers are Mike Wallace, Terrell Pryor, Jordan Matthews, and Kendall Wright. The top running backs are Frank Gore, Alfred Morris, DeMarco Murray. Now that LeGarrette Blount has signed, the top tight ends are Luke Wilson, Crocker Gilmore, who's more of an offensive lineman. The top offensive linemen are Russell Bodine and Luke Wilson, Luke Jokel, DJ Fluker. So you can see that the list is pretty well diminished.
Yeah, so
these aren't big names.
But that doesn't make a lot of sense either to commit that kind of money.
Yeah, well, I think they're interested. I mean, I think they'd like to have a good player like that. I mean, because, again, you can have them for 3 or 4 years maybe. But that's, I kind of wonder, if he thinks Seattle's closer to the Super Bowl or New Orleans, or is it going to be more of a location type of thing or more the desire to play with Pete Carroll?
Well, it's definitely going to be you need to have a great draft. We've only got, about seven starters in the last 4 years of drafting, and that's not going to pass muster. Nick Schumann did have a point there. They've kind of been missing on a lot of picks. And there's no update on McDowell either, is there?
No, none. Which I don't anticipate there's going to be one that's going to be, that may just have been a bad one.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, thanks, John.
Okay. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Coming up, Michael Sean Duggar will be able to talk Seahawks coming up next. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.